looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That'll be a 2-1 to Mookie. Bases loaded, two out. Swung on, there it goes to deep left. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. Mookie Betts is murdering the Yankees in every single way. He grand slams in the monster seats. 9 runs are in the inning. But what a night. Double, single, walk, double, grand slam. He has scored 5 runs and knocked in 4. Wow.
And boy, if you're in the home dugout, they're just having fun. This is just fun now.
Oh, is it ever? What an ass-kicking at Fenway Park last night. 14-1 is the final score. Red Sox absolutely maul the New York Yankees. And frankly, I'm expecting to hear from a lot of you. I am. I heard from a lot of people on Twitter last night. And honestly, I didn't really read it. I just looked closely and saw that I was getting a lot of action on some of the things I put out there. So, but I did not check specifically what people were saying. I know a lot of people are pumped up that the Red Sox are playing well. And I told you, I wanted to see him do it against a legit team. I wanted to see it against the Yankees. I wanted the Red Sox to get Giancarlo Stanton. He ended up in New York and struck out in his first two at bats last night. All of that. So you want to gloat as a Red Sox fan, you should gloat. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. I want to get to a couple things in particular, first of which is last night's game. Okay, 14-1. Does it mean anything, Murray? Jim Murray, does it mean anything? Jimmy Stewart, does it mean anything that game last night?
I think it means more for the Yankees. And I thought going into this series was more important to the Yankees for how bad that they've looked so far this season and what their expectations are. I mean, it's a great win for the Red Sox, but for the Yankees, that game was ostensibly over by the time the third inning started. So, yeah, I put more weight on the Yankees' loss than the Red Sox actually, you know, massacring them.
Okay, does it mean anything for the Red Sox?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's the first real team to me that they've played this season. You know, I always kept, you know, I had a little bit of an asterisk on what they were doing prior to this series because of those AAA organizations in Florida that they've been playing.
Jimmy Stewart, does it mean anything for the Red Sox that win last night?
Yep, April statement win. I was impressed.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. They beat the crap out of bad teams to start the year. To me, I wanted to see him play well against a good team. And last year, I made a big point of this yesterday. I can't just totally reverse field on you now, Murray, although I have done it. But nonetheless, I look at it and I say, last year they went 8-11 against the Yankees, and more importantly, they did not hit. They didn't hit in the games against New York. They didn't win when Chris Sale pitched against the Yankees. Sale pitched 5 times against New York last year. They went 1-4. Sale himself went 0-3. Now, he didn't pitch badly, at least until the last one in September, when Farrell sent him out for the 5th inning with 90-something pitches. But nonetheless, they didn't hit against New York. They didn't win when Sale pitched. The Yankees went deeper into the postseason. And hell, the Yankees might go deeper into this postseason. But for all those reasons, the Yankees were better than the Red Sox last year. I don't care where they finished in the standings. So last night, of course it means something. Yes, it means something. If for nothing else, it gives the Red Sox a little bit of confidence that they can go up against that team and beat the living crap out of them, which is what they did last night in New York, or in Boston against New York. However, let's not go too far with it. Okay, let's not go too far with it. The 14-1 was nice. It was nice. But it hardly guarantees anything going forward. The Yankees are clearly a mess at the moment. And the Red Sox, to me, boy, there is a golden opportunity for them here in this series to really jump on the Yankees and beat the snot out of them. Because the Yankees are playing like garbage. 12 errors New York has made last night. How about that ground ball to third base that really should have ended the inning? Right? What a brutal play that is. Was it Andujar playing third base last night? He's a kid that had a big spring, minor leaguer, prospect who came in and had a big spring. And the Yankees have some injuries now, too. But what a garbage play. And so the Yankees, to me, don't look dialed in, even remotely dialed in at the start of the season. And honestly, I think they miss Joe Girardi. They miss Girardi's intensity. They miss his attention to detail. They miss his hard-assness, if that's what you want to call it, because it feels a little bit like a...
Well, there's no identity, really, it feels like so far with this team, and they got no character. And Joe Girardi, for as much of a hard-ass as he was, he at least got those guys to play hard for him last year. It makes no sense to me that they got rid of that guy as far as they got in the playoffs. I mean, coming within a handful of outs of getting to the World Series, they play a Game 7 against Houston in the ALCS, and then they fire the guy? Because what, he's not that accessible to the media, and he's too much of a hard-ass to the young players? Well, that can go the other way, and I think you're seeing that early with this team.
I mean, it blows my mind, Murray. It really does. You would do that. Not just the manager, but the entire staff. The only guy that came back is the pitching coach, Larry Rothschild. The rest of them are all new. The Yankees got to Game 7 of the LCS and lost to a better team in the Astros. The Astros, top to bottom, were better than the Yankees. They could match them offensively, and they had better pitching. Maybe New York had the better bullpen. But the starting pitching, not even close. The Astros had the better starting pitching, especially after they added Justin Verlander. So all of that, Girardi gets them there, and then the Yankees decide they're going to rip out the management of the team, you know, the uniform management, and go with a whole new crew and bring in Stanton on top of it, who has sucked for the Yankees thus far. I don't know if he started to come out of it in the late part of that game last night or not. But a risky move by Brian Cashman when you think about it. Risky. Like, he turned the team over. He turned an ALCS Game 7 team over to a guy that had never managed before. So the Red Sox take advantage of this. David Price on the mound tonight. And Murray, you have the starting lineup in front of you, right?
Correct, yeah.
So the Red Sox did make a lineup change that frankly, I absolutely hate. But go ahead, Murray.
All right, so you have Mookie Betts leading off, of course. Raffy Devers batting second tonight. Hanley Ramirez batting third, going to be the designated hitter. J.D. Martinez is in left, so no Andrew Benintendi. Mitch Moreland playing first base. Eduardo Nunez at second. Jackie Bradley Jr. in center. Christian Vasquez behind the plate. And Brock Holt is at shortstop again.
Okay, so Brock Holt's at short again, which I hate. You know, to me, Su-Wei Lin is a better shortstop than, but not even close, than Holt is. And Benintendi's out of the lineup. Do either of you guys have an opinion on that?
Well, he's starting to hit, so it makes no sense.
Yeah, it drives me bananas.
Yeah, I hate it. It's stupid.
Okay, so now Cora said that this was predetermined, which I'm not surprised about. I mean, he said he planned this 4 days ago. This is something he said in his press conference over at Fenway Park a little while ago. Benintendi's starting to swing a bat. Okay, now he hits Severino, too, which we talked about last night. And then he rips a triple into the corner, which was might have actually been a bigger hit than Betts' home run. Because the game already felt in hand when Betts just blew it wide open. But the Benintendi hit is what opened it up early. So, in a lot of ways, that was a bigger hit in the game. Benintendi's swinging the bat. He goes to the bench. Martinez goes to left field. Hanley DHs and Moreland's in the lineup. So, ultimately, Moreland in for Benintendi. Which I honestly, I hate. Again, they had an off day on Monday. I don't know why Benintendi has to get the day off. Cora was asked about it and effectively said, look, I decided it 4 days ago. It was pre-planned. Later in the year, I may go with a hot hand. Right now, I'm going to go this route because I want to give everybody the chance to get hot. So Moreland's in, Benintendi's out, which I don't like. Someone asked about Blake Swihart earlier in the day. I thought that Cora actually said something interesting, and there was an interesting development involving Blake Swihart over at the ballpark that I want to get to a little bit later in the show. But in the interim, we'll take your calls. 617-779-0985. Everything is just awesome and perfect with the Red Sox. So you want to dial in on anything in particular, we'll take your calls on that. But we'll get to Swihart as well. That's next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1-1, rope down the right field line. That's a fair ball. All the way down the line. In comes Vasquez. Here comes Mookie. He'll score. Benintendi all the way into third. He slides in.
9-1, they send David Price to the mound against the Yankees. And I don't know, sort of an interesting situation for David Price, if you ask me. He's pitched very well thus far. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to come out and lose to the Yankees. It would sort of just take a little air out of the balloon. But I do think that the Red Sox hit the Yankees at the right time here. So I hate to put it in these terms, But if I were to ask you guys, and I mean Murray and Jimmy Stewart, but also you, the fan, if I were to ask you, are the Red Sox playing well right now or are the Yankees playing badly? You have to pick one. Which is it more of? Is it more about the Red Sox being good or is it about the Yankees being bad? Murray, if you had to pick which one, which is it?
Oh, it's about the Yankees being bad.
Jimmy?
It's about the Red Sox being really good.
Okay, see, I'm with Murray on this. I don't diminish what the Red Sox did last night because I think it was important for them to do it. So to score 14 runs against the Yankees, they scored 59 runs in 19 games last year.
I mean, I thought that that one game really captured everything going wrong with this team so far this season. That murderer's row of an offense that was so feared over the winter and spring training, couldn't drive in a run. And then that bullpen, which was arguably their biggest strength last year and really hasn't changed at all, it turned the game into a joke. You know, and like maybe part of that is that Aaron Boone can't manage the damn thing. So, I don't know. I thought last night was a microcosm of just everything that's gone wrong for that team.
I mean, you don't get beat 14-1 if you're playing well. Okay, if the Red Sox win the game 5-1.
You're talking about the bad defense, too.
Yeah, like you win the game 5-1, fine. 14-1, you give up 14 runs that with your ace on the mound in the 11th game of the year? That feels like a team that's just not ready to go. That's what that feels like. So I don't think it's wrong to pick at the Yankees here in the early going. And I have to admit, I gave you the first segment. Okay? I gave you the first segment. I allowed you to gloat in the first segment. Now I'm getting back to being me. Okay? Like, I read Shaughnessy's column today. And I saw this quote by Alex Cora. "We've been playing good baseball for a while," said Cora. Have they? Have they been playing good baseball for a while? Because I watched them in the first week of the season on that road trip, and they ran into an out on the bases every night. They didn't hit. Like, if you want to say the last few days, maybe. But even then, it took a ridiculous comeback. They didn't necessarily play well in the game on Sunday. That was Eduardo Rodriguez. I don't know that they played all that great in the first 9 games of the year. But they were 8-1 because they played garbage. Last night, they played well. Sale came out ready to go, and they hit the ball all over the ballpark. Mookie Betts swinging earlier in the count. All the things that you've read about, that they've talked about, all of that. All of that was on display. But the first 9 games, we've been playing good baseball for a while. I saw that line by Cora, and I said, no way. No way is that true. They have not played great baseball. They've played pretty decent. They had a couple of great comebacks. But they have not played great baseball, not until last night. I mean, last night was a runaway. The score of last night is a reflection on the Yankees. Don't delude yourself. Let's go to your calls here. Michael's in Medford. Go ahead, Michael.
Just based on what you said, I have a different take on Cora not pulling J.D. Martinez, in that should be like breathing as to us in baseball.
So you're talking about the game on Sunday now?
Yes, because they had 2 minutes between innings. Somebody had to make a defensive reference. So Cora keeps J.D. in the lineup because he's afraid that they've had tight games with Tampa Bay, and it may go to extra innings, and he wants the bat in there. Now, at the post-game interview, he does a misdirection just to cover himself and be likable. That's a theory that nobody explored. He's the manager, it's his team, he's going to do it his way, because I'm sure they're all professionals in there. They had to have known about a defensive replacement. He's never played against the left field wall. I mean, really, when you think about it, the professionals, if fans know it, my God, somebody in that dugout had to mention it within those 2 minutes.
So, Michael, you could be right. Again, to me, we got a call. Alan in Florida called today. He was the first one to say it. I thought it was a good point. And then Dakota and Braintree made the same point. But Alan Florida said it first. Where's the bench coach on that one? Ron Renicki. Ron Renicki's been around the game his whole life. He's in his 60s. That's the bench coach's moment to lean into the manager and say, hey, listen, you may want to get J.D. Martinez out of the game now. You may want to put Bradley in and move Benintendi in the left. So that one's on the bench coach. Like, and I'm not saying the manager's exempt, but I'm saying it's worse for a 60-some-odd-year-old bench coach who is managed in the big leagues. It's worse for him than it is for a rookie manager doing it for the first time. Now, your theory about Cora maybe endearing himself to the media, maybe. I mean, maybe they're trying to... The likability of the manager has been a problem for the Red Sox. Okay? It's been a problem, public relations-wise. And maybe this is why TV ratings, in part, are up almost 50%. 50% here in the early part of the year. Interestingly, I don't know if you guys heard this. Was last night's game not a sellout?
That I can't speak to.
I believe that's correct.
Okay, so if I were to say to you, what do the Red Sox care more about, the sellout or the TV ratings?
Oh, I would think the TV ratings. I would hope the TV ratings.
Probably not even close, right? I mean, it's got to be the TV ratings. Because a large majority of fans are watching games on TV and aren't going to the ballpark. And last night could have been about the weather. And I'm telling you that I don't know if he can manage yet on Cora. None of us do. Because they really haven't hit a rough patch yet. And he's going to make mistakes here in the early part of the year. Cora will make his share of mistakes. He already has. The question is whether he's still making them in August and September. And then, hopefully, October. Terry Francona made mistakes his first year with the Red Sox. Trust me on that one. You don't remember them. I do. One in particular, he let Curt Schilling throw like 130 pitches in a game at one point.
Against the Cleveland Indians early in the season, maybe May 1st or something.
And then Schilling was shot for like...
a month or so,
Something like that. Yeah, I mean, it was a big mistake. And to me, what it revealed at the time was Francona was blind with regard to Schilling. Now, where I thought the caller was going to go on J.D. Martinez was that Cora left him in the game because he didn't want to pull him because he wants J.D. Martinez to like him. Right? He's trying to build relationships and build trust. But if he does that, if he does it for that reason, then why does he come out last night at the ballpark and say, no, I meant to pull him? I mean, that doesn't exactly deliver a great message to Martinez, right? I was going to pull you from that game. I forgot. Adam is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, I just wanted to touch a base on, remember when Cora was the second baseman of the Red Sox, Pedroia's rookie year, and Cora was so hot at the beginning of that year. I remember screaming at Frank Cohen on the TV saying, put Cora back. He was lighting up. And Francona just kept putting Pedroia in there, and it was a great decision because he ended up having a great year.
Okay, but what does that have to do with now, Adam?
What I'm saying is I'm thinking Cora looks at that and says he wants to find that guy too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, like, but in the case of, and listen, thank you for the call. I think I understand what you mean, that he's gonna play different guys. Maybe that's where you're going. In the case of Francona, they had the young guy earmarked for the starter. So he put the starter in there in Pedroia to get him going. He showed confidence in the young player to get him, you know, get him some at-bats and get him going. In this case, the guy they're getting into the lineup is Mitch Moreland tonight. Mitch Moreland's getting into first base, which puts Hanley at DH, Martinez back into the outfield, and takes Benintendi out. I don't love that. I don't love that. I'm not going out of my way to get Mitch Moreland playing time. Now, look, I understand Cora's explanation. Hey, I made the lineups 4 days ago. I want to try to get everybody in there. It's early in the year. Give everyone a chance to get hot. And the most important thing, later in the year, maybe I'll go with the hot hand more. And I'm just no Mitch Moreland fan. I'd rather have Benintendi in the lineup, especially when it looks like he's getting hot. Because he has good matchup numbers with Severino. He does not have great matchup numbers with Tanaka, but they're not awful. 4-16, I think he is, which is .250. But the way he looks right now, I wouldn't want to get him out of there. Jack is in a car. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I wanted to call a couple weeks ago. I think it was at the tail end of spring training. You had a debate on air. It was relating to, is Cora worth more to the Red Sox, or is it just the departure of Farrell? I wanted to propose the same question only to the Yankees and the departure of Girardi versus Boone.
So, excellent question. So what you're saying is the Yankees start right now. Does it have more to do with the arrival of Boone, or does it have more to do with the departure of Girardi?
Exactly. And I know last night's game, it was pretty evident that preparation was pretty poor, but just wanted to get your take on it.
Okay, so Jack, just quickly, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I think Boone is just not the right guy for the job. I think Girardi's established leadership is a huge loss for them, but I think it's more so has to do with the hiring of Boone.
Okay, so believe it or not, I actually think it's the opposite. This team, this Yankee team, they need Joe Girardi. They need his intensity. They need his attitude. So look, Aaron Judge had a good night last night. Prior to last night, I think he was 0-12 with 10 strikeouts against Chris Sale. But I wouldn't describe Judge as the most intense player in the world. All I know is that before this year, the last time I saw the Yankees was in the playoffs and at the end of the regular season. Now, those are much bigger and more important games. But the Yankees were locked in. I look at them now, and I think they miss a veteran manager who approaches the regular season with a little bit more urgency than maybe your typical veteran manager. And Boone feels to me like he just, they brought him in. They want him to manage based on the analytics, which he's going to do. And I'm talking about the game management now. And otherwise, they want to make sure the young guys are all comfortable. Gary Sanchez had a good year last year, or at least got better last year is a better way I should say it. Okay, Gary Sanchez got better last year. His stats might not have been as good as they were at the end of 2016. But you know why? He got better because Joe Girardi rode his ass. Girardi criticized him for being out of shape, for not working on his defense. Girardi was on him. And the Sanchez thing to me might be a big part of the reason why they made the change. Because the Yankees probably felt he was a little too hard on Sanchez. How does Sanchez look now? Because to me, Sanchez feels like the kind of guy who's got to have a manager on his back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How disheartening is it to start off this series this way?
Oh, yeah, it's, I mean, that's no fun getting beat up like that. You know, especially, you know, you have your ace going and, you know, certainly not the way we wanted to start the trip. But you also, you know, turn the page from it and we're at least able to give some guys in our bullpen that we feel like we needed to another day's rest. So, you know, hopefully we'll benefit from that at some point this week. And, you know, the beauty of this game is it was settled pretty quickly there. And, you know, it's sometimes you flush these out really quickly and come back and square things up tomorrow. Nothing to do but turn the page on it.
You know, the more I think about this and I say a Joe Torre quality, wow. You know, Joe Torre didn't have a great reputation as a manager when he took over the Yankees, but at least he had managed quite a bit. And Torre was likable. The other thing is that Yankee team had consummate professionals all over the place. Now, look, Jeter was a rookie in 96 when Torre was a rookie. So it's not like they were all established veterans, but they did have guys who were, I would say, sort of total pros. Maybe they were on the younger side. I'd really have to look at how old some of those Yankees were. And Bernie Williams had been in the league, what, a couple of years at that stage? So they had the consummate team, and Torre ended up being the right guy in the right place. Maybe that was the logic Cashman had here with Boone. But to compare Boone's experience with Torre and 1,000 games or whatever he had managed before he got to the Yankees, to me, is totally wrong. Boone just looks like he's searching. And more so than Cora. Cora, again, and we made this point on the Felger and Mass show today, Cora was at least in uniform. Murray, I think you were the one who said it. You know, at least he was a bench coach. At least he was in a dugout. Boone was doing TV. And I just hope they didn't pick Boone because he projects better than Girardi did. Girardi, to me, was a good game manager. He wasn't warm and fuzzy, but he was a good game manager. He took his team to Game 7 of the LCS a year early, and they fired him. So I was surprised by that when that happened.
Well, one of the things that I read, too, that I'd be out of my mind about if I was a Yankee fan is, you know, he wasn't that accessible, Girardi, to the media there. And they wanted someone a little bit more warm and fuzzy, so that's one of the reasons they went with Aaron Boone, because he relates to the media, because he was a media guy, because he's been in the broadcast booth, which is insane to me. It should be about the product on the field.
Of course it should. That totally blows my mind. Now, again, in the case of the Red Sox, I think they wanted some of that too, but they also wanted a guy who could get through to the younger players. So I don't have no doubts that that's what the Yankees are trying to accomplish there, but it does feel like they are just totally out of whack and searching at the moment. We're going to have to see how it goes with Boone. As for Alex Cora, Blake Swihart hasn't played a lot here in the early in the year. Swihart was out back again at second base before tonight's game. Now, Bogaerts is out. Nunez might see some time at shortstop. And honestly, this all sort of just popped into my head as we're going here, because they're playing Swihart in the wrong place, frankly. But here is Cora on why they had Swihart back out at second base tonight.
It's a different lineup now than a few days ago when Xander was there. So we have to be prepared if something happens. He worked at second late in spring training, you know, turned all the plays, and he's athletic enough that, you know, in case that we need him, he can go there and make the routine plays and turn all the plays.
Okay, so again, that's the whole logic. If we need him there in an emergency case, he's out at second base. Swihart's had 6 at-bats, I think, 7 plate appearances so far. Do you remember where he played? Was it last night he got in the game? Jeez, it seems like it was a lifetime ago. Do you remember he got in the game last night?
No. I mean, I tapped out somewhat early because the game was in hand.
Jimmy Stewart, do you remember? Because Su Wayne Lin went in to play shortstop. Swihart also got in the game last night, right?
I'm Googling.
Okay. He played at first base. So as I'm thinking about this today, if you wanted to get someone like Benintendi out of the lineup because it was pre-programmed, who would you rather give the playing time to? A young guy like Blake Swihart that you're trying to find out what he can be, or Mitch Moreland, who you know what he is? Like, Mitch Moreland to me is a known commodity. Swihart, now, I'm not telling you Moreland has played a lot either, because he hasn't. But if I'm letting one guy rot, I'm letting Mitch Moreland rot. I'm not letting Swihart rot. Go ahead, Jimmy.
He also finished, he got into the 7th inning last night, according to Baseball Reference. He also finished a game in Tampa at first base.
Okay, so maybe I'm getting mixed up at the Tampa game, but I know he's gone in to play first. So why can't Swihart be out there tonight and be in the lineup? You put Nunez at the number 2 spot in the batting order. You put Swihart in instead of Moreland. Now that I think about it, why not go that way? Why do I have to see Mitch Moreland play against Tanaka?
Because he needs at-bats, Tony.
So can just one of you quickly look up Tanaka's matchup numbers with Moreland? So the Swihart numbers to me are irrelevant because I'm not sure he's even faced him, and if he did, it was 2 years ago. So, but the Moreland, if Moreland has some sort of great numbers against Tanaka, then I'll eat my words. But I bet he does. I bet he doesn't, rather. Steve is in Lynn. What do you got, Steve?
Yeah, Tony, you're awfully good at picking nits. You know, there's big themes you're missing, though. And the biggest theme that you're missing is a well-coached team. Let's give Cora some credit. He's all about defense. How is the Red Sox defense? I haven't heard you mention that at all.
Okay, so Steve, I'm glad you brought this up. They have not made an error yet. I think they're the only team in the majors that hasn't made an error.
Yes, and why is that not mentioned by you?
Okay, I just mentioned it. I actually did mention it, but you didn't hear it. So, but that aside, now let me ask you, do you think J.D. Martinez played good defense in left field on Sunday? Because he didn't make an error.
Yes. J.D. Martinez is not the best fielder.
Okay, but, so hold on, I got more.
Is he going to get better sitting on the bench or DHing? No, he needs to get out there and get his reps in the field.
Okay, how do you feel about Eduardo Nunez's defense at second base so far?
It's adequate. It's good. Fine.
Okay, adequate, I guess, is one word. To me, he's had, I can name 3 plays where he's been in position to field the ball and has gone to the ground and knocked them down and not gotten an out. 3. 2 were in the same game. 1 was 2 days ago. Or over the weekend. So, like, now look, I'm not telling you they're playing horrible defense. I would tell you that the left side of the infield has been good. Better than I would have thought going in. Bogaerts and Devers. And first base, Hanley, terrific. The outfield's always good, so I get no issues there. But Nunez has not been great, and J.D. Martinez has not been great. So I'm just telling you that the 0 errors is a little deceiving. Overall, though, they've played pretty good defense. But there's a couple of spots where they haven't. What do you got, Murray?
Well, I got those numbers.
This is Mitch Moreland against Tanaka?
Yeah. He's had 16 at-bats against him in his career for just 3 hits, hitting .188 against him. Would you like Blake Swihart's number against Muncy or Tanaka?
Sure, why not?
6 at-bats, 2 hits for .333.
Okay, so there you go, 2 for 6. So he has almost as many hits. Now, again, the Swihart numbers were a little deceiving because he hasn't faced him in a long time. I don't think
Moreland?
Yeah, he already told me, 3 for 16.
Oh,
188.
Sorry.
I mean, if you come down to it, I would rather have Swihart at first base in the lineup than Moreland. Really? Like, I don't understand why Mitch Moreland has to play.
That feels above the manager to me.
So maybe.
You know, considering that they bring him back. I just feel like he's barely touched the field since the beginning of the season. You know, it almost feels like, hey, you know, we got to justify this. You know, the fact that we've re-upped Mitch Moreland here.
So I'm not telling you it's the end of the world. Again, later in the year, Cora says he may go with the hot hand, which I'm hoping he will. I just, if I'm taking Benintendi out of the lineup, I'd rather put Swihart in there. I like Swihart. I think Swihart can play. I'd rather have him than Mitch Moreland, for crying out loud.
What I actually meant to say was, do you want Bradley Jr. against Benintendi numbers?
You mean Junior against Bradley Junior against Tanaka?
Yeah, it's 143. He's 4 for 28. Benintendi is 4 for 16.
Right, he's 250. Yeah. So again, there's another one, Jimmy. Take Bradley out of the lineup, put Benintendi in center. You can do it that way too. I don't know what they see in Jackie Bradley or Mitch Moreland, for that matter.
Defense.
A couple of other things I want to get to. The matchups of the game brought to you by Big Y. We'll do that next. Key at-bats to watch in this game tonight. And interesting exchange post-game last night between Mookie Betts and one of the broadcasters on ESPN. We'll play that for you, too.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So Mookie Betts was the star of the game last night. Unquestionably, although I don't think he had the biggest hit. I think Benintendi's triple was actually the biggest hit in the game. By the time Betts hit the grand slam, the game was over already. I mean, it padded the numbers. And I'm not telling you he wasn't a factor in the previous rallies or the prior rallies, because he was. But Betts was the subject of the post-game interview on the Four Letter Network last night, in which a former manager of his was on the panel. Jimmy, go ahead and play it.
Hey, Mookie, I have one more question for you. I got a friend of yours here. Hey, Mookie. Old skipper, John Farrell's here. Say hi. Hey, Mookie, how you doing, man? Listen, Skip. Last year, no Grand Slams all season long. Here you are, you and Bogey, with each one in the first 10 games of the season. There was a lot of talk early on. You guys are going to be more aggressive in the count, early in the count. Has that paid any dividends for you personally?
For sure. You know, I take a lot of pitches, and I kind of made it a point this year to try and be aggressive and swing early, because that's kind of when they're attacking me. So it's definitely worked this year.
Okay, so two things there. That Farrell's interviewing Betts, right? Awkward. There's Farrell in studio talking to one of his former players. Two things. And as I listen to the question, like I said this to Murray and Jimmy Stewart earlier, tell me that Farrell inside wasn't thinking, you dink. Why didn't you swing at the first pitch earlier in the year when I told you to do it last year? Maybe you would have saved my job. Instead of being down 0-2 or 0-1 all the time, go up there hacking, and maybe you guys had hit one out of the ballpark. You'd have done it for me. You'd have saved my job.
It's like finding out your ex does all the dirty things that you'd never do with you with someone else.
Exactly. That hadn't occurred to me quite that way, Murray, but that is a good way to think of it. Exactly. You would do with someone else what you wouldn't do with me. You rotten person, you. You rotten, filthy person. Like, on top of it. But I also wonder, as I listened to it, like, I started to think, Farrell wants to get back in the game. He doesn't want to just be a scout for the Cincinnati Reds or whoever the hell it is he's working for. He's doing something like that, right? Consultant.
All right, how much goes into that job?
He wants
one look at that team. We stink.
Okay, he wants to manage again. So he's sitting at ESPN. How's your relationship with Mookie? Oh, my relationship with Mookie's good. Yeah. You know, I'll ask him a question. Yeah, sure. Because he's got to give the appearance, at least publicly, that he had good relationships with some of his players. You know, Price couldn't stand him. Bogarts couldn't stand him, apparently.
Bradley Jr. didn't like him.
Right, Bradley. Like, you go right down the list. I'm not even sure Hanley knew that Farrell was the manager. but you know, my guess is that Hanley didn't care for him either. But I wonder if part of Farrell's, you know, stepping up and jumping into that interview is, you know, I'm going to show everybody there were players on that team that liked me. I'm not even sure Betts liked him, but at least gave the appearance of that. So just, it was an interesting moment.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of every